Congressman Mark Pocan, who is still in Washington. Is that right? You're still in Washington?
Yes, I am, Sly.
Kind of an interesting week in Washington. Well, first, I want you to reflect on how you felt when you got the news about what happened in Florida.
Well, you know, I think there's multiple fronts, but I mean, I think the thing for me is just to have another mass shooting, this time the largest in our nation's history, and just knowing that I was going to be going back to D.C. where we weren't going to do a damn thing about it. And, you know, the frustration of, while there's multiple issues, you know, it was clearly a hate crime against the LGBT community. This was a self, created terrorist who did this. And just the fact that, again, you know, so much damage could happen so quickly. And just knowing that, you know, we did a quick moment of silence and then we moved on to bashing the IRS. It's just, you know, really frustrating that we can't get more done in Washington when these kind of things happen.
So you really thought that the way the speaker handled that was disrespectful?
Well, you know, this is the first time that I can think of where you didn't have the members from the community come to the well and talk about it. And it's not just that it was a storm or a couple people from their district that passed away. This was 49 people, and instead he just did a quick moment of silence. And, you know, I think it was disrespectful to the members from that part of Florida, both Democrats and Republicans, and, you know, just disrespectful because he didn't want to have a bigger, broader debate, so we just did a quick moment of silence and moved on. And, you know, I think a lot of us are just ready for moments of action, and, you know, there's a lot of ways you can go, but we should do something when these things happen.
All right. So, but just because it was a hate crime of this proportion, but it's such a complicated situation because now it appears as though this man was leading a double life. We're having serious questions about his wife. And the debate about rhetoric from right-wingers in America and how that feeds into violence against the gay community. Well, we had one of the biggest hate mongers in the world come to Madison today, in Franklin Graham, who's really just a vicious, vicious man. How does that all fit together for you?
Well, you know, a lot of it, because we had a classified briefing a couple days ago, and honestly, I don't think we have enough information to really start analyzing the individual exactly at this point. You know, a lot of it's just out there. But, you know, we knew that he cased this and other locations, this one especially, and clearly that's where he went to that night. We knew that he did, you know, he called a news station, he called 911 a couple times. I mean, he was trying to seek some attention for what he did, but I don't know if we have a profile yet on it. What we do know is this is a person who the FBI had for 9 or 10 months on a watch list, took off, almost put him back on for another incident. And yet when he went in last week to buy the weapons that he bought, there was, because he wasn't on the list, there was not even a check back to someone who was under investigation for 10 months. And I think, you know, there's a little bit of concern around that. But clearly, you know, I think for so many people, you know, you started to feel public opinion, you know, was strongly in support of things like marriage equality. People felt like maybe they had turned the corner on discrimination, and then something so violent happened at a club where, you know, Sly, still that's the place where for so many young people, that's part of the coming out process where they go to find, you know, other people who are like them. Mm-hmm. And then to have this happen, you know, there's still a lot of, I think, you know, fear within the community because of what happened.
Boy, you know, a lot of Hispanic people were killed as well. So there's that aspect of it as well.
Well, it was Latin night,
right.
at a gay club, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, that was another dimension of this where,
right,
you know, a lot of people in the Latin community have found it very difficult to come out. There's sort of this macho thing and
exactly.
The whole thing is so inconceivable to me that I can't comprehend how someone could possibly do that. But you know, the rub here always is what to do about it. And obviously, you and I disagree about banning semi-automatic weapons. There's a poll that's out that has Hillary Clinton 12 points ahead of Donald Trump, and they polled people about banning assault weapons. And it's very close. 52% say no, 48% say yes. So that means that there are some Clinton supporters that are clearly not necessarily for banning assault weapons. I mean, Russ Feingold voted for the assault weapon ban the first time, against it the next time, because he said many of the distinctions were ornamental, and it wasn't proven to him that it was an effective tool. How do we sort this out?
You know, one thing that's different this time, I think, from some of the other instances, and, you know, we've had a lot of people using the graphic of the last five or six mass killings done with the exact same weapon, you know, which...
Yeah, but there's some question now whether the AR-15 was used. It may have been another one that was similar to it, but...
But still, it makes people look and think. I think the uniqueness of this situation was that there is audio and video coverage of it, and people can tell just how fast the death and destruction happened. And I don't think we've really had that in other instances. And, you know, I'm hoping that might make public opinion look at it a little bit. I mean, you know, Wisconsin, we obviously, as you know, Sly, have a very rich tradition in hunting. And no one should try to take away a rifle that, you know, you're using in a family tradition of hunting in Wisconsin. No one should take away your handgun you have for personal protection. But I think when you get to the question that this person, who, again, I think maybe... You know, it was that he should have still had a little more scrutiny on that list when he went in to buy it, because he was for 10 months under investigation by the FBI. But the fact that, you know, there's all kinds of stuff on social media now, how quick you can buy one of these guns and the mass destruction that it does, I mean, I do think that's a part of the debate that we should have, and I think that there's a lot of other parts that we should have. The problem is, in Congress, we will have no debate about this. All the Republicans want to do is talk about... I had a turn off on the radio listening to Donald Trump as he suggested the problem is we have too many refugees coming from Syria, and, you know, he might as well said we just drink too much orange juice and that was the problem, because they're completely unrelated to what happened with this, you know, individual who's born in the United States. And, you know, the fact that, not, I don't know if a Republican yet on the floor has mentioned that this happened at a community, you know, a bar for LGBT people. In fact, one person said,
"You don't want to make them blush. You don't want to make them blush, do you?"
But, you know, it's an important part of what happened. I mean, I think it was so important when the president said this was an act of terror and an act of hate. And we have to remember both parts of that. In fact, you know, I think more and more we're realizing that this probably was not anything coordinated with ISIL in any way.
No, that guy was picking. That guy was picking different groups. One
exactly.
Day it was Hamas,
yeah.
Then it was Hezbollah, yeah. Then it was, and those are
groups
all very
that fight each other. Yeah,
right. Divergent groups. So, yeah, right. I think he was kind of scapegoating. That appeared to almost be like a cover to make his father happy. You know what happened during Ramadan, which I heard a profiler this morning talking about that, and that we're way behind the curve in tracking some things. Dates are very important in many of these attacks that happen, and I think that's something people have to consider. Stand by. We'll talk more with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Paul from AMS with us on the Big FM 93.7.
We are having an inventory clearance sale, and we've had some people come in and take excellent advantage of that, and we've got lots and lots of really good equipment left, too.
So your location?
Right near the corner of PD and Verona Road on the southwest side of Madison. You can call us at 608-274-7400, amsmadison.com, or you can even like us on Facebook.
Sounds great. Paul from AMS.
I want to ask you about what's going on. You did a press conference recently on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Can you give us an update on that?
I don't know if I have a great update in that. You know, we're still waiting to see if this is something that could happen. Very, very unlikely before the November election, but the question is, will it come up during the lame duck session?
Bad.
Now, we're being told by a few Republicans that they're reporting back to people they've been told it won't come up, but I don't personally believe that. I think if they think that that's their only opportunity to do it, as you know, they'll do everything they can to get it passed. So we just still meet weekly to do everything we can to try to fight it, but... you know, I don't know if I have a definitive update other than, you know, we continue to talk to undecided members. And, you know, we're actually gaining one of the Republicans that just lost in Virginia in a primary. The person who took his seat is against the TPP. He was for it. So, you know, we're going to keep keeping track of people who are going to be coming to Congress and make sure that we know where they're at.
Have you learned anything more about it and what you think about it?
You know, there's nothing new to learn, right? We've had it out there for a while. I mean, my favorite...
No, Ron Johnson's still studying it.
Well, exactly. And there's a couple people in the House who use that same line. And, you know, I think you probably know what's in there by now, whether or not you want to accept what's in there, whether or not you want to make a statement about what's in there. But it'd be pretty hard for someone to say they don't know what's in the TPP. It's been out there long enough.
Well, it's interesting because he voted for the South Korean, Panama, and Colombia deal lightning fast.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this one is interesting, right? Because, look, so many Republicans are against it. In fact, I saw some polling fly. More Republicans are against the TPP than Democrats. Probably because, the president is supportive. But there are more Republicans against TPP than even Democrats. And, I think that's where most of their votes have come thus far. And now that, their presidential presumptive nominee is against it. I mean, I think that, that and the other conversations that are happening are going to make it very difficult to try to get done this year, but that's why we're watching it for the lame duck.
Do you believe Hillary Clinton when she says she opposes it?
I believe her in what she said. I think what I would like to hear is throughout the rest of the campaign that being reinforced. I'd like to hear her say again she doesn't think it should come up during the lame duck session. I believe she said that once. But I would feel more comfortable. I know the AFL-CIO, I believe, is doing an endorsement process tomorrow, and I'd love to know that they've had the proper conversation with the Clinton campaign. So, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities to have that position reinforced.
Well, let me ask this then. Would you feel more confident in her position on this Trans-Pacific Partnership and future trade deals if she picked someone like Sherrod Brown or Jeff Merkley or Elizabeth Warren, as opposed to Tim Kaine?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the main two people I've been out there advocating for, obviously, well, top three or four really, are Elizabeth Warren, Sherrod Brown. Both have a slight problem with the governor of the state would appoint the replacement, although I think Massachusetts is slightly different than the case in Ohio, how that could happen. Not that I think he'll get it, but Bernie Sanders certainly has, brought out voters that we're going to need to have come out in November. And, even someone like Tom Perez, Secretary of Labor, I think, is an interesting pick. If you start going to Tom Kaine, who is not a terrible pick, but certainly not going to stand out like we want them to. But if you go to Mark Warner or Evan Bayh, you're really pushing it.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to make it hard to get people to wake up and to care enough to come out and vote. So I'm hoping that we realize the momentum of the primaries, the strength of the primaries, has been getting all those people back out to vote again for the Democratic ticket so that we can defeat Donald Trump. Well, and I don't think you do that with someone who's too bland.
Well, let me throw out a name. One of Hillary Clinton's opponents in the Democratic primaries. He's against free trade, Jim Webb.
Yeah, I don't think Jim Webb would be on that list.
I deliberately did that just because I know you don't like him. I threw that out just because I know you don't like him. I wanted to hear your reaction.
Did you get what you needed?
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of wanted to hear more of a gasp. I was looking for a little more animation. All right, well, a lot of people are still wondering what you're going to do at the Democratic Convention this summer in Philadelphia with your superdelegate status.
Yeah, now that we said we were waiting till essentially yesterday, the last presidential primary was over, and I think just out of a courtesy out of what's happened in Orlando, we've just kind of put things on hold on that front for right now.
So you're not saying who you're going to vote for as a super?
No, at this front, I think the politics should take a backseat to what happened this weekend and the need to address what happened this weekend. And I think everyone's been very respectful of that around the country.
I talked to the sheriff the other day, and he expressed gratitude for the way the Orlando police handled the situation. Now, they did use some equipment that has come under fire, and there's this whole effort to demilitarize the police. What are your thoughts on that? And are there? Go ahead.
But we had an amendment to basically do that on equipment that was non-essential. I mean, it's one thing to have something that could actually be used that they'd be buying anyway. It's another thing to put military-grade equipment out into the middle of Tennessee, people who aren't trained on, you know, a certain type of military equipment, and just doing it because it's surplus. And I think that's where the concern has been. I mean, if you've got a use that legitimately, you know, the departments might be buying anyway, and they have the training capacity, mm-hmm. that's one issue. But, you know, I opposed us doing what we're doing now, which is just putting so much of that equipment out there. I think that there's a mistake. And the sheriff makes a good case. I mean, there's certain things that they're buying anyway. That's just providing some savings for public safety. But there's a lot of other things that you just don't need to have a police department have without the proper training, especially some of these smaller departments that were getting it because there was so much surplus equipment to go out.
It's been quite a week. Because I have to look for so much stuff for my show, it is amazing how much hate is still out there from many people who supported Ted Cruz, who had a lot of access to Republican candidates, who are literally blaming the victims for their deaths, Mark.
Yeah, I'll tell you, what's amazing is when we posted on social media that, you know, essentially this was an act of terror and an act of hate, you know, done by a military-style assault weapon. We're tired of moments of silence. It's time for moments of action. I think we put that on Facebook. I think I got my single greatest social media response by 40% or 50% over the previous, and the previous one was probably the Final Four in Badgers basketball. So there is a huge amount of people and outpouring who are upset about why isn't anything happening. And then I did a 1 minute on the floor on Tuesday evening after we voted, and we put that around just on Facebook, and we've had 42,000 views on it. This is something that I think there is a huge disconnect, including, I think, in my party to some degree, that we're not responding to where the people want us to be on this.
The only thing where I would give a different perspective than yours is there are some of us that aren't. I don't like the NRA, but I'm not scared of the NRA. I think I can make a valid argument that we shouldn't ban semi-automatic rifles.
It's not because I'm scared.
I don't want to affect
an individual and a politician. I mean, I think for most politicians, including people who might want to do the right thing, in my opinion, won't, because they know they'll have a ton of money thrown against them. So I guess when I talk about, you know, the Congress being too chicken to take the issue on, it's because the NRA has a huge amount of money they throw around at election time, and people just don't want to face that. And, you know, so I'm not talking about individuals. However, what I can tell you, again, individual-wise, if you read the comments that are out there on Facebook and through Twitter and others, I mean, there is an intense feeling that here is yet another mass shooting, and nothing will happen. And to do a single moment of silence, and again, to be so discourteous, to the people from the area, it just shows that's my problem.
Congress is unable
to do anything.
Listen, Ron Johnson didn't even bother taking a vote on the Manchin background check bill. That's just ridiculous and inexcusable. Yeah. All right. Congressman Mark Pocan, thank you for coming on the show today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sly.
Have a great day.
Sly's Office.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.